From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we're on the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. Ranger Proud on vacation, shout out to RP. This is the Stanley Cup playoff episode. A lot of game sevens in the NHL tonight with the Maple Leafs and the Toronto Maple Leafs, Boston Bruins, and then you've got the Vegas Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks, and then tomorrow you've got the Carolina Hurricanes and the Washington Capitals, defending Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals. Let's get right into it. As far as game seven, I said that Boston is going to win in seven. So far throughout these playoffs, I've been hit or miss for the most part. You go back to the Islanders and Penguins series. I said the Penguins were going to win that in six, and I was dead wrong about that. I hold myself accountable that the Penguins were going to win, and they definitely did not show up. The Islanders outplayed them in every game. Congratulations to the New York Islanders. They've been pretty much – they already done clinched, what, about a week ago. So they're waiting their next opponent in the next round. And as far as the other team in the Eastern Conference, we talked about that last time with RP. I did not see Tampa Bay Lightning, the best team in hockey in the regular season, the President's Trophy winners, and the curse still kind of continues. No matter how great of a regular season you have, you can still be got in the NHL playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, and the Columbus Blue Jackets knocked them out. Now, how do I see this thing going with Boston and Toronto? I say this. I think it still starts at the end with Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron, and Dave Pastrnak. And then you add in Krejci, you add in Krug, you add in Charo on the other lines. You have guys that can score in bunches, not like Toronto. I mean, not that Toronto kid, but that was a huge game six for the Boston Bruins. They had got out to a nice couple of goals. You get on Toronto, they shut their crowd up. A lot of pressure went on the Maple Leafs, and they were not able to seal the deal and finish off the Boston Bruins and let them hang around. See, when I thought this was going to be a game seven, I thought it was going to be the other way around, where Boston was up 3-2 going into Toronto. I thought Toronto was going to win their home game in game six, and then Boston comes home and wins game seven. Now, that's needless to say that the Maple Leafs could win this game. They could go into Boston just like they did in game one, and they could take the crowd right out of the game. They could outplay them. We talked about the Kadri suspension, and we talked about Austin Matthews. It took him a while, a couple of games in the series to get going, but he definitely has gotten going. If you looked at as far as John Tavares, you probably expect a big game from him as well. Maybe Freddie Anderson and Net is going to outplay Tuukka Rask. So this thing is all lined up, man. This is two teams that pretty much almost mirror each other. I think Boston is more top-heavy when it comes to the scoring. I think Boston probably would dwell under the pressure better than the Toronto Maple Leafs. I like Boston. I don't love them in this game, but I definitely do like them to take out the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Toronto Maple Leafs had their chance in game six, and they've over history, they've had their troubles with this game. Maybe it goes the other way for the Maple Leafs. Maybe they go into Boston and they turn the tide or something. So as of right now, watching the start of the game, the pregame, Boston taking the ice, Toronto about to take the ice as well. The anthems are about to sing and all that other stuff. So this is the time for Toronto. I think, there's pressure on both teams. Don't get me wrong. There's pressure on both teams. But I believe Toronto needs this probably more than Boston. Probably because of the long history, Toronto has not won since 1967 a Stanley Cup. Not to say Boston, they're five, six years removed since their Stanley Cup. Maybe a little bit longer than that, something like that. But they have more of a recent success in the playoffs than the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Toronto Maple Leafs they're not just up and coming. They got young youth. They got depth with Morgan Riley. but they also got these veterans like Patrick Marleau, who's coming over from San Jose last season, John Tavares from the Islanders this year. I mean, they really, really need a big game out of their top line tonight. And there are going to be some situations. You're going to see Austin Matthews and Tavares on the ice at the same time, like you saw a lot of this in this series, because you have to match that offensive power that the Bruins come up with, man. I mean, that's just how they roll. I'm going to roll with Boston. Hopefully it's not if Toronto wins, it wouldn't make me lose sleep. Austin Matthews maybe has a decent game, probably get a couple of points, maybe two assists, maybe doesn't score a goal in this game. But this is one of those games, man. It's a huge game seven for both teams, probably more so for Toronto than anything. I want to go to the other game seven later on tonight after the conclusion of this episode. It was a little bit of a surprise, in the sense of I thought the Vegas Golden Knights were going to finish off the Sharks in six, and it was in exactly where I thought they would have had them. The Vegas Golden Knights were up 3-2 in this series, and well, actually 3-1. And the San Jose Sharks responded very well at home at the HP Pavilion in San Jose to make it 3-2. Went back to Vegas, and that game went into double overtime, and San Jose took that game, and now they're forcing a game seven at home, which I think the pressure is probably still on San Jose's side of things because they've been in the playoffs longer. Vegas Golden Knights are more of an expansion team. They went to the Stanley Cup playoffs or the Stanley Cup finals last year in San Jose the year before that. But, I mean, I think, honestly, the pressure is still on San Jose. What are you going to get out of your Evander Kane? And what about Thomas Hertl, who's actually played very, very well? Can Thomas Hertl keep this up? I think he definitely can. I think he's given some of the problems with Shea Theodore and Nate Schmidt. He gave those guys problems from the Vegas Golden Knights side of things. The second line that was actually outstanding in the first four or five games of the season, Patrick O'Ready, Mark Stone, that line has kind of slowed down a little bit. Don't know what happened to them. They kind of slowed. They kind of disappeared. And I always said, even before the start of this podcast, a couple of weeks ago with Ranger Proud, I thought they were the key of going or coming. And that second line has kind of slowed down. And I think San Jose has kind of figured them out the last couple of four or five periods. Kind of shocked that San Jose didn't get put away by the Vegas Golden Knights, man. Mustersault. You see him score a goal a couple of games ago when they were up 3-1. But to me, I mean, both teams are stacked. Don't get me wrong. Both teams have got good talent, man. Very, very good pieces. Who's going to be out playing the other in net? Is it going to be Martin Jones for the San Jose Sharks? Is it going to be Marc-Andre Fleury for the Vegas Golden Knights? This is the type of game Andre Fleury, who's kind of had that all those years with the Pittsburgh Penguins, kind of had that talent in front of him on his side. I think he kind of is going to come in and then he might show up and stand up and deliver a game seven victory, man. I think they could go on the road and win in San Jose. I mean, these two teams are familiar with each other. So I don't see nothing wrong as far as Vegas Golden Knights giving up the two games to the San Jose Sharks. They got to be better with the power play. They kind of fell off the last couple of games when it came to that. And I think that's kind of been their thing. And then on the flip side, San Jose's been forechecking the crap out of them. They've been hitting. George Thornton has came back from the suspension. So a lot of things to go off both squads, man. I'd like to see on the San Jose Sharks side of things, Pavelski, especially when he gets into his spots because he's small enough. I know he took the hit in the first game and he had the stitches. He's shown a lot of toughness in the series, the way he's come back, the scoring. He's probably going to have a good game on tonight versus the Golden Knights. I think I can see him with a good game. It's just a matter of which guys are going to be willing to show up, man. So, I mean, this team, man, with the Vegas Golden Knights, I mean, what other sleepers can I think of as far as who's going to be able to deliver the goods, man? I mean, is it going to be William Karlsson, because the guy who slowed down since all that scoring tear he had last year, is he going to show it up? What about Cody Eakin? What about Ryan Reeves? What about Peary? What about Paul Stastny? Another guy that was second line, Pacey already, Mark Stone. Are they going to be able to the bounce back in Game 7? There's a lot of veterans on both sides of the ice, man. Alex Tuch had a couple of shots, had a couple of goals in his game, but he left some on the table as well. That combination of the wingers, of the forwards, and the centers between the Vegas Golden Knights, they can't allow missed shots to go unchecked, man. They got to cash them in when they can, and if they have to avoid the physicality from the Shark, as well as the Sharks got to do the same thing on the other end. Because like, what if the Shark in this game is going to be able to do what they got to do? You know, with Evander Kane, Pavelski that I've identified, but you got Brent Burns and then Erik Karlsson. Are they going to play their stay-at-home roles? I think they're not going to run the risk as far as it's been working for them the last couple of games. They've just got to deal with that. But so you got Logan Couture and Thomas Hurdle. Those guys have been giving the San Jose Sharks hell, man. I mean, not the San Jose Sharks. The Vegas Golden Knights pretty much hell, man. So, I mean, just got to – the goals is there, and the shooting has picked up the last couple of games. San Jose, they're prone to lose games like this at home. Historically, when it's time to win or go home, and sometimes the San Jose Sharks do not show up. Hopefully, in the case of the Toronto Maple Leafs and the San Jose Sharks, things change. History kind of changes for both squads. I still have I'm going to still go with Vegas Golden Knights, stick with my pick, even though I did save them in six, but I'm not highly confident in that. I definitely am not highly confident in that. And then in the other game seven, that's going to be on Wednesday, the Capitals, the Hurricanes. And I'm kind of shocked, even despite the TJ Oshie injury, I'm still kind of shocked at that this thing is going seven. Although you've heard me over the regular season with the Rangers, I like the Carolina Hurricanes. I think they had the scoring and the veterans to give somebody some hell, per se, if you want to call it that. But I didn't think this was going to go to a game. So I thought the Capitals were going to finish them off in five, six at the most. Probably I was looking at a gentleman's sweep. And even if you counted the TJ Oshie injury, I mean the Capitals still came back in one big after his injury in game four. So expect the Kuznetsov, expect Backstrom, expect Orlov, those guys, of course, get it going for the Washington Capitals. You might see a point from Tom Wilson. This is a huge game seven. I think Washington is going to be able to deal with the pressure. If you go back three, four years ago, you could never really say that about the Washington Capitals, but even last year, they've proven that they can win big games, whether it's the Rangers versus the Pittsburgh Penguins last year. Even when I slept on them, they went through the Penguins. They went through the Tampa Bay Lightning. They went through some legit qualified teams to get to where they were and win the Stanley Cup over the Vegas Golden Knights last year. So I don't count this championship team off. A lot of them are still intact. Regardless if they got a new head coach or not, I still like the chances of the Washington Capitals in the Game 7. That's just a tall order even for this Carolina team. Whether it's Sebastian Aho or Sergachev, those guys to get it going. Justin Williams, who played excellent. He's a veteran, a former Stanley Cup champion winner, as him and himself. But I just like the Capitals at home. I definitely do. Of all the three game sevens, that would surprise me the most if Carolina went in there and won game seven. That would really, really shock me. I mean, nothing should really shock me at this point with the way with the NHL playoffs. You saw, like I said, with the Islanders, what they did to Pittsburgh. Not that the Islanders won. It's just pure dominance in the four-game sweep. But even more impressive with the Columbus Blue Jackets in the seven-game sweep. A four-game sweep over the Lightning. Now, if I had to go over the West, another game seven, that would have been intact, but fortunately for Rangers fans, that the Rangers still get to keep their pick from the Dallas Stars, as far as long as the Dallas Stars get to the Western Conference Finals. They finish off the Nashville Predators in six, which I'm actually kind of surprised in that series as well. I thought Nashville had all the firepower offensively. They had the defenseman, Pekka Rinne, as far as, you know, being an overrated goalie that he is. I can't even blame that on him. I think he saw too many shots. There was something broken, something wrong with the defense of the Nashville Predators. They were getting really hammered with hits, the speed, the forecheck, the boards. I mean, the Dallas Stars came to hit the Nashville Predators all series long. It started with game one, even setting the tone for that. The young defensemen for the Dallas Stars, Rickinen as well as Klingsberg, had played phenomenal, played it better than any of the Nashville Predators has played. That is really, really shocking in the sense, surprising more so, that the Nashville Predators did get knocked out with all the offensive talent that they got. You know, it's a good team, balanced top to bottom. And let's face it, man, Dallas Stars, they shot it off there. I mean, Pekka Rinne, as much as I would like to say this is on him, I'm going to say some of it's on him, but it's not a lot, because he saw a lot of shots that those defensemen could not get in front of those guys and take those block shots and stop the shooting lanes of the Dallas Stars, man. I was really, really impressed the way the Dallas Stars played, man. Jamie Benn was a monster out there. I mean, even the shots on goal that he had taken in the third period, even going into the overtime, and his hit at the blue line set up the game-winning goal by Klingsberg. The win the series 4-2. Congratulations to the Dallas Stars. Now, even going to the other game as well, the other series, congratulations to the St. Louis Blues for finishing off the Winnipeg Jets, who I actually had going out of the Western Conference. So you look at it from that perspective, in the sense that I had the Western Conference, I had the Winnipeg Jets, the Eastern Conference, I had the Tampa Bay Lightning, and both teams are out in the first round. That is unbelievable, man. Very, very unbelievable. The Blues, Ryan O'Reilly, Tereshchenko, Bozak, those guys played excellent, man. And that's why no team, the Central Division in hockey was probably the most stacked in my opinion in the league. That includes the Metropolitan. I know Toronto, Tampa Bay, Boston, that's a very top-heavy division as well. But top to bottom, and look who's advancing. Think about it like this. Look who's advancing. You got the Dallas Stars, the St. Louis Blues, probably your middle-of-the-pack Central Division teams, and they're moving forward where the top two teams in the Central, the Winnipeg Jets and the Nashville Predators, are going home. I mean, they're just a little bit deeper, man. That's just the way it is in that division, man. They're just stacked. And then some of the teams that didn't make the cut, like Minnesota Wild, they felt they were out on the outside looking in. So congratulations to both teams. And I talked about the Colorado Avalanche. At least I got that right. I mean, give me credit, y'all. Give me that credit. At least I got that right. Unfortunately, well, I didn't get it 100% right. I got it, you know, I said Colorado in six, and they finished off the Flames and Fire. And that series kind of went kind of how I thought it was going to go. Not necessarily the way game one panned out, but just the firepower that the Colorado Avalanche have on the power play. And I said Nathan MacKinnon was the best player on both sides of the ice. Calgary has all the talent. Yeah, they have Derek Ryan on the fourth line. They got Kachuk, Mike Giordano, one of the top defensemen in the league. Probably has a chance to win the Norris Trophy. You got, of course, Johnny Gaudreau. You got Sean Monahan. I mean, they have more scoring punching talent, but they're young. Now, I thought James Neal was a nice locker room presence, but I think they were just a year ahead of schedule with the squad. Especially with Colorado just being in the playoffs last year and giving Nashville all they could have last year. I thought this was the series that Nathan MacKinnon and Ratanen was going to show out, and they definitely did. I mean, they really put a hurting on the Calgary Flames. I guess this is what we're going to look like next round. I mean, assuming the Capitals, if they win, they'll probably get the Islanders, and that's going to be an interesting storyline with the Stanley Cup head coach from last year, winning head coach, and Barry Trotz going up against the team, the Washington Capitals, who we took to the finals and won last year. So you got the Islanders, Capitals, if that is the plan out. Then you're on the other side, the Columbus Blue Jackets, and the winner between them and the Maple Leafs and Bruins. So that should be an interesting series, man. I mean, Blue Jackets played well in that first round. The Islanders definitely played well. So they have a nice time to rest. Can they keep up that energy? We'll have to wait and see. Of course, in the West, we're going to have to see the same couple of things as well, man. As Game 7s are in session, Bruins and the Maple Leafs, as of right now, midway through the first period, is no score. I'm still sticking with Boston, and I think I'm stick with the Vegas Golden Knights, and then the other game, I'm going to stick with the Capitals. Stick with two home teams and one road team. We'll be back next Tuesday to get into more of the round two stuff. The Bleed Blue Show, bleedblueshow.com. Sangreal, this is the update on the Stanley Cups. Check out all the other episodes, iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen. Blee Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Blee Blue, Blee Blue, Blee Blue, Blee Blue, Blee Blue, Blee Blue, Blee Blue.